Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We're back in the room.
Have we done three?
What?
Three, two, one.
Oh, mate. No.
That'll do nicely. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another amazing podcast from your favourite neighbourhood historians, Backseat Historian.
I thought you were going to say Spider-Man then.
Yeah, I really stumbled over my words there, which is not ideal. Oh, it's so annoying.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. Just been watching a really horrendously depressing film, The Champion of Auschwitz.
So, The Champion of Auschwitz, who was that then? Hitler?
No. He was a boxer, and before the war, he was a boxer who competed in the championship for Polish champion. Didn't win.
Oh.
And then got to Auschwitz and started doing boxing matches there for entertainment for the Germans. And all of this sort of thing. But yeah, real depressing and probably not the best material to then come in and do a comedy podcast.
Yeah, you're giving off awful vibes right now. You are giving off Auschwitz.
Am I? Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, God. What about you? How have you been?
Tired.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I shouldn't drink anymore because, I mean, every time I drink, it's a 2-day hangover, and this one, yeah, it's not been a fun one. And then I had
Were you hungover on Saturday? Sunday?
I was just tired again. I think,
yeah.
I only got a couple of hours sleep, and then had Emmeline today because Rach was working, and she was a pain in the arsehole.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. Yeah.
And then I picked Florence up from her mum's. I've not seen her in about 3 weeks because she's been in France. So
lovely.
That was nice, but the energy was all drained out of me, as usual.
God, we're really going to pick this up then, aren't we?
The life
we're gonna
of
have
a parent.
A good podcast. Yes.
Let's get going. Let's crack up. Let's, something fun must have happened that we can talk about.
Obviously we looked after Emmeline whilst you and Rachel got drunk. And we went to the park. And there was a merry-go-round there, and she insisted that Lucas sit on the merry-go-round with her, and I spanned them around as far as they could, obviously. And Lucas was like, oh no, I feel sick. So he stumbled off.
To back that point up, I took her to the park today, and she went on the roundabout, and there's a bit of bird poo on there, and she went, Ducky's sick.
Yeah, Ducky is what Emmeline calls Lucas.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was probably the most interesting thing that happened to me this weekend.
No,
yeah.
me and Rachel coming back was even more interesting, surely.
Oh my God, it's so funny. I think you can only notice it when you're sober and other people are drunk, that you notice how differently you act. Because I think you guys probably thought you're like, yeah, sober as fuck. Like
we're
really holding this together.
I definitely didn't. I mean, we went to a wine bar and we thought this will be sophisticated. I mean, it's not like we're getting rowdy, but you put money on a card and then it's all self-service wine.
I love the idea of self-service wine.
Oh, mate, it was really good. And then I think we put about £40 on. We're like, that'll be fine. We'll be merry when we come out. Two or three glasses in, we were both a little bit battered. And then the meat board came out. That helped.
You were mixing hard, though. You started off on wine. Then you came back with, like, tequila seltzers. Started off on gin.
Yeah.
Then you went to wine. Then you had cocktails by the pitcher.
Yeah.
and then you came back with a tequila seltzer, which I didn't realize they did. Did you know that you picked up a tequila seltzer?
No, I did not. But it was really good, actually. Good. I didn't know the White Claws did the tequila. Tequila, la la.
No law when you're on the claw.
No laws. And then me and your loving partner went out for a fantastic night out.
To the best club in the world.
Metro,
guys. In Dereham.
If you ever find yourself in Dereham, in Norfolk, get to Metro because it is booming.
If you don't know, get to know.
Definitely get to know. And we both got hit on by a 60-year-old woman.
Well, you had asked for tasks, two from myself, two from Rachel, before you guys went out. And I ended up giving you all of the tasks because Rachel said, just don't die. So
yeah, she's got no originality.
So what did we go for? We went for get a selfie with a woman over 60 or a person over 60.
Did that within 5 minutes.
Get somebody's banking information.
Got that.
Get a fiver for someone.
No one would give me a fiver. Even though I was offering them £4.99 in exchange. Didn't happen.
I can't remember. Oh, swap down, shirts.
Then. Swap shirts. No one wanted to swap shirts for me. There was one more. Find someone's auntie's name, which was a strange one. But we got Linda.
Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. So you did the majority of them, but you failed in getting the fiver.
And the T-shirt,
What else should I have offered them? A tenner? Lucas took a picture and showed it to me of what Metro was like, and it literally does look like a working men's club / school disco.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So I'm not surprised that nobody was interested in entertaining.
No,
the swapping shirts and £5.
That was at the end of the evening. We were at Wetherspoons for a good couple of hours, and that is where you'd think I could get a T-shirt from someone.
Maybe it depends. The people of Dereham are strange people, aren't they?
They did, but we did bump into Ozzy Osbourne, which was crazy.
Oh, did you?
I thought he was dead. Yeah,
clearly not. He's alive and well in Dereham.
He is.
Faked his death.
Retirement location.
Nice, cool. Well, shall we? Do you think we should get on with today's episode? Now, did anyone email in?
Actually, so our best mate Sadri. He commented on our Instagram with a GIF because we did the thingy-ma-jigs, what they're called, shorts. So he commented on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then young Cooper also said he thinks it's Blackbeard, but I wouldn't tell him. So I think we had two guesses. I did get slandered for saying Sadri's name wrong.
Oh, yeah. Can you say it correctly, please?
No, so I've just resorted to calling him Calamari.
Excellent.
Because that was close
enough. Excellent. Really building bridges there. Perfect.
And then it turns out we were saying Howorth wrong the whole time.
Oh, why?
Because a Howorth commented in, and it's actually Howorth. Howorth. Howorth? Howorth.
Howorth. Howorth. Well, yeah. I also got absolutely dragged by Lucas for saying all of the Polish names incorrectly. And he was like, you should have just had me there to say them, and then you could have just...
I believed you, mate.
...got the correct pronunciation, so...
I think you were
good. I messed up there. Cool, thank you. Well, I did my best with what I had, and luckily no one else said anything. But yes, to those people, Cooper and Asadri, you guys are both quite correct. We are doing the Golden Age of Piracy. Where is my rum? Blackbeard. Possibly, if we have time, we're going to get into some cross-dressing pirates too. It's all going to be fun and games, and I'm excited to get into it, but there is an awful lot. So we'll see how much of my research we can actually use.
And we have a prize to give out because they got it right.
Yeah, what is the prize? We were very non-committal about what the prize
was
going to be.
£6.47. So do we just split it down the middle, or do they get that each?
£6.47. Who got it first?
I think it was Sadri.
Okay. Then
he wins.
Yeah, but then what? Cooper's young.
He doesn't need that money.
Oh no, I think we should split it.
Okay.
I think that's only
23.5
Are you paying
each.
That?
Yeah, I've got that. I'll cover that one.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Good. Well, stay tuned for the next riddle because you could be in with a chance of winning £6.47.
Because I can't remember what next week's one is. If I get it right, do I get money?
No, of course you don't. You're joking.
No.
That's rigged.
That is a little bit rigged because I can just go on Google, but It's fine.
We'll get accusations of being corrupt.
Corrupt. Corrupt if I might.
I love people.
There you go. You're smiling now.
So good.
Don't we all? It's,
I know,
great. Have you seen Chibuddy Jeez? Go on.
What? No, go on.
Chibuddy Jeez now doing the women's rugby.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I can't quote it because I can't remember any of it, but it's good. YouTube again.
Good. YouTube. Cool. Okay. And also, did anybody actually look at the plane crash in Australia?
I did.
I didn't. You never sent it to me, so I blame you. I blame you for that.
I did tell you exactly what to Google, though.
Yeah, but then you said, oh, I'll send it to you. So obviously I promptly forgot about it and never did that. Yeah, cool. Nice. Excellent. Okay. No, I bet you won't. So let's dive in, shall we? And find the rum. And let's explore a little bit about the golden age of piracy. Now, some historians, very boring historians that I listened to about 10 minutes of a 40-minute podcast on, said that it's difficult to define what the golden age of piracy actually was. And some historians say it's from about 1717 to 1725. Some people go as far back as the 1640s to the 1730s. What we're going to do initially is have a little bit of a look at, where did piracy all start?
Where did it begin?
Where did it begin, man? Why
How
are
did it
doing
begin?
This? How did it begin? So it all starts in earnest when Europeans go over and start colonizing America en masse, the continent of America, north and south. And Christopher Columbus, unsurprisingly, or perhaps quite surprisingly, is kind of one of the first pirates /privateers, and we'll get into the difference later. So when he goes over and discovers America, he actually robs some cacao beans from some merchants on the way. So this is about the 16th century. What did you think I was going to say?
Cocaine.
No. Well, however, they are discovering Colombia. So this is all the start of what's his name?
Oh, fucking hell. Big,
Medellin cartel. Pablo Escobar. There you go. We could almost say that the whole reason Pablo Escobar comes about is Christopher Columbus, because he started this whole piracy thing. And what are pirates apart from the cartels?
Exactly.
Thank you. So,
I don't know what I just said. I just went numb a bit.
Exactly.
When that comes to captioning that will just be inexplicable. I can't speak, mate.
Brackets unclear.
Yeah, brackets unclear. We'll do that one. Translation brackets, not.
Or just like just a little squiggle. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just cut it out entirely. So we're talking about the 16th century, and there are groups of people who are making use of the fact that the Spanish conquistadors that have been over in South America, they've taken all of this gold from people like Montezuma, the Aztec empires, etc. And as they're trying to ferry it back to get back to Spain across the Atlantic Ocean, groups of English, Dutch and French members of what are the newly formed branches of Christianity are kind of extending their version of what's going on at home as part of the Reformation. And they view the Catholic conquistadors as the perfect way of attacking the Catholic faith, right?
Right.
So, you know, Henry VIII, right?
No.
Yeah, Henry VIII?
No. Nah, to be fair, I do. Divorce beheaded.
Six wives.
Divorce beheaded survived.
Yeah. So
question.
The Reformation, yeah?
I know we'll probably get to him at some point down the line, but the ones that divorced, did they live?
So Catherine of Aragon lived. Who else? Anne of Cleves, she lived.
So why are they not just labelled as survived?
Because the one at the end survived because she was still married to Henry VIII when he died.
Okay.
There we go. Catherine Parr?
His only widow.
Or Catherine Howard. Yeah. I can't remember which one she was, Howard or Parr. Oh, doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
So, you know when Henry VII dies, he was married to Catherine of Aragon. And then Henry VIII comes to the throne, he marries his brother's widow. And then she's like kind of old and crusty in that. And she's not providing him any male heirs. So he's like, okay, sick. Well, I'll just divorce you because I need a male heir to continue the Tudor line. And then the Pope is like, oh, you can't actually do that. So thus happens a tiny little thing called the Reformation, where he dismantles the Catholic Church in England, and instead he creates the Protestant Church, the Church of England. This has wide-reaching ramifications. This, and I'm sure it started elsewhere on the European continent. However, because of this and because of everything that's going on back home around the 16th century, these groups of merchants, these groups of sailors think, well, these guys are Catholic and I'm not, therefore I can rob them. So this is kind of where piracy begins in earnest in the Atlantic Ocean, in the Americas, in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean, as we well know.
Nice.
Interesting. But at the time, there's this really interesting thing. This is where we get into the difference between pirates and privateers, because the powers that be back home realize that we can take these groups of people who have loads of training, they have the resources, and they're quite a nuisance, and we can use them against the enemy. So this is something called privateering, when you're basically doing what pirates do, but you're backed by your government back home.
Legal piracy.
Yeah. So in the 16th and 17th century, loads of wars are getting fought kind of back to back. One of them being, how was it, like Queen Anne's War or something? Basically the Spanish succession problem. Whoever is the king, I guess. I don't do much research into this. He dies in Spain, and loads of people are trying to get their interests forwarded in Spain by backing certain people to take over.
Okay.
So what happens is, when this finishes in the 18th century, you've got all of these people that you've backed as privateers, and you've basically said to them, you can go and rob my enemy's ships, which means that you run interference for us because you're creating havoc for them. And you can take the plunder and split it amongst yourselves and then give us some of it. So the English government, they were getting resources from these ships, and they were also managing to further strategic interests by creating as much disarray amongst the Spanish as possible.
Yeah.
So when this ends, right, and also let's not forget that the Royal Navy had to expand massively. They built an awful lot more ships. They needed people to man them. So they'd taken a lot more people into the Royal Navy. As soon as the war ends in the 18th century, it's like, what do these people do? So they're just kind of fucked off.
Where do we go now?
They're like, what do we do?
Yeah,
they were literally told,
do?
Like, we don't need you anymore. They downsized their navy massively. So you've got all of these different people who used to be privateers, who used to be in the Navy, the Royal Navy and the Merchant Navy. And a lot of them are in the Caribbean.
And they're used to that plunder.
They're used to the plunder. They're used to the raping and the pillaging and the drinking.
They love the plundering that booty, don't they?
They do love the plundering of that booty.
Yeah.
So in this maelstrom of change that happens, and in and amongst the different colonial interests over in the Americas, you have a situation that is ripe for the taking. And this is where piracy really comes to the forefront. And it is literally just the same thing that was happening under privateering, but it's not legal anymore.
Yep.
So what I found interesting is that Tortuga, which you know that they mention in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That is brought up, yeah.
Yeah, it actually existed.
Oh, fucking hell, where?
So it's a small island off the coast of Hispaniola, where originally the Spanish had released pigs and cattle on the island, likely because they wanted to settle that island and they wanted there to be food sources. Since the 1570s, the Cossers had landed on the island to collect provisions. What they did was they cut meat into long, thin strips and cured it over a fire in the Arawak fashion.
Jerky,
literally, they're making jerky, and it's over a wooden structure called the boucan. So this is in French, and I'm completely butchering it.
I reckon the French word is a bouchon.
Bouchon. Boucan. Boucan. Because of this, these hunters earned the name of Bouquier, I guess, in French. But the English anglicized it into buccaneer.
Ah.
So this is where we get the word buccaneer from, which mental, is insane.
Mate. What's a buccaneer again?
But in... So a buccaneer is... I'll get into it because...
Okay.
It comes up, but this is just... This is like the beginnings of piracy, right? So we jump forward to 1629. The Spanish have attacked a French colony in St. Kitts. 200 refugees fled to Tortuga.
I thought there was a ghost outside.
Why?
The bed sheets are on the line, but I can't see them. And this sheet just
get your washing
across
in.
The window.
Get your washing in.
Got to get that dry,
what
mate.
What are you doing?
I just saw this thing just going across the window, mate.
What if someone steals your washing?
They can have it, mate.
5p, 50p. Spanish attacking the French colony in St. Kitts, 200 refugees fled to Tortuga, which they regarded as a safe haven, because this is where these hunters have already settled, right?
Yeah.
They split the population down into three groups, the farmers, the hunters, which are the buccaneers, and pirates.
Woo.
They settle really well together. They create a trade network. They occasionally swap roles amongst each other. They create laws and they create more complex administrative code that is unique to them. But
so
this becomes
entirely
a blueprint.
Lawless.
No, they're not entirely lawless at all. Right. And this would form the blueprint for how other pirate colonies are going to act in the future. The main rule that they take, which then kind of carries on through the generations, is splitting plunder equally between them. So we'll see this come up later. But I just thought it was really cool. They've got this like little microcosm.
Yeah.
But in order to get money and be self-sustaining, they start targeting Spanish ships that are sailing between Cuba and Hispaniola. So that's kind of where we are. We're kind of not far from the coast of the USA and nowadays.
If only
North
Trump
America.
Was there to build that wall.
Oh, man, if only. But they didn't. So
One
here we
day.
Go. Yeah, another cool thing. So popping amongst these pirates on this little pirate colony is this hat that looks like a baseball cap. It's like a leather hat and it's got this really like broad rim, but only to the front.
Tell you who has got a broad rim. No, I won't.
No,
it's crude.
Oh, you're going to say Rachel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Sorry, guy.
I'm trying to make this as interesting as possible. So, where do we get the term buccaneers from? So, in 1654, the Tortuga colony is thrown into disarray after the pirate dictator Jean Levasseur is murdered.
Solid name.
Because of this disarray, they can't defend themselves against Spanish conquest, and they were ran out, and they needed to find a new home. So what they did is they went over to Jamaica. Jamaica is an English colony, right? They'd just taken it over from the Spanish and they needed supplies and men. So they invited over the pirates to join them. What happened was in order to go out and annoy the Spanish even more, they put together groups of people, which were English officers. They were veterans from the Navy. They were regular sailors and they were these hunters. And together they ended up being called the Buccaneers. So that's where you get
there you
Buccaneers
go.
From. How
Do you reckon
interesting.
They had some red stripe?
Oh, 100%.
It's a cracking beer, that is. 100%
there was red stripe involved.
You a red stripesman?
No, not really. I don't really like beer.
What's
that much.
Polish one? It's up there with that. They're on a
tisky.
Even keel, those two. Yeah, the Tisky and the
You like
stripe.
Tisky?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. What do I actually like to drink? I probably like an IPA or something more, you know?
Yeah, I'd say I don't like beer that much, but IPA is definitely top of the list for me. If I'm on a beer,
yeah.
That and Guinness, and I'm happy.
Yeah, Guinness. I mean, I drank it when I was over in Ireland, but I would never go to a pub and be like,
when
yeah, pint of Guinness, please. When in Rome, do as the Irish do, get fucked.
shoot a baby out of your cannon.
Us, baby, into the Colosseum. Thus, Gladiator is born.
You're agreeing with me now.
No, I don't agree, but I'm just trying to get some energy into this podcast.
Come on.
So, those are the beginnings of piracy.
Piracy.
You wouldn't steal a car. Piracy.
I like that reference. I like that a lot. I do like that a lot. Because modern day piracy is just us watching TV illegally, isn't it?
Yeah, that we definitely 100% would
and
never
do. And some mental Somalis just rocking around getting their heads blown off.
Look at me.
I am the captain now. What a film that is. I never want to watch it, but it's a brilliant movie.
Yeah, I've watched it once. I can't say that I have any hankering to watch it again, you know?
No, it's one of them, isn't it? I know what happens and how it ends. Well, I can say that about any film I've ever watched, but...
Yeah, but it's like Sully. Like, you know what's going to happen. So when you watch it for the first time, to be fair, a lot of people know what happens with Sully, don't they? Because a lot of them were alive when it happened.
Is that the plane one?
Yeah, he lands a plane on the Hudson River after a bird strike takes out both engines. Lol.
Tom Hanks again.
Yeah, my God, Tom Hanks, man. He seems to be really good at making movies that you only watch once, like Castaway. I've only watched that once.
Castaway I've watched numerous times.
Have you?
Forrest
Wilson!
Gump.
Wilson! Forrest Gump. I think I've only watched once, but I would watch that again.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, I've watched that a couple of times. That's good.
Big.
Yeah. Big. Not seen. No.
That's a shame. That's a good one.
Is it?
So there's a lot of rewatchable
films. What about that one about that guy
that
wants to kill himself?
Oh, that's a bit deep.
Have you seen that one?
I don't think so. That's not my kind of vibe. You like watching these depressing films, don't you?
I mean, like is a strong word. I don't know. It's like self-flagellation, isn't it?
I don't know what that word means, but I will agree.
Yeah, nice. So, let's get on to... Oh, no. His beard's on fire. Blackbeard.
Oh, Black Dick.
Unfortunately, there's not an awful lot that's known about Blackbeard's early life. And all that we managed to get is from kind of secondhand sources and a bit of conjecture. But he was possibly born in around the 1680s in either Bristol or Jamaica. And he was born...
Bit of a distance.
Yeah, it's either or. So... Some
could you imagine the accent of a Bristolian and a Jamaican mixed together?
Well, you have to do it now.
Oh, mate, I can't. I need to get what's a Bristolian one? Oh, you right there, bird?
Yeah.
No, Bristolian, you right there, bird, and then Jamaican. Jamaican,
it's like if Russell Howard went over to Jamaica for a little bit
and
got
made some
sauce
of Levi Roots,
yeah, exactly. Did a bit of reggae.
Howard's Hoops.
With any of the Marleys that are still alive.
Damien.
Yeah. I don't know any others.
No, I don't. I think they're the only two that matter.
Yeah. Anyway. So, we don't know what his actual birth name was. So, it could be Edward Teach. It could be Edward Thatch. I think most people think it's Edward Thatch. But all of this comes from one singular primary source. That was written in 1724. And that is Captain Charles Johnson's It's kind of like the history of pirates, but it's not. It's like the history of robbery and murder of most notorious pirates. The general history of the robberies and murders of the most notorious pirates. And the issue with what he's written is that an awful lot of it is... probably just to sell books, right? He embellishes an awful lot. So there is stuff that can be corroborated and that has been corroborated with other sources and reports written at the time. But we don't know exactly how much is true.
Most of history is embellished, though, isn't it? We can say that about anything.
Yeah, 100%. It's written by the victors. Who said that?
Yeah. Exactly. Who said
what? Who said that? Who said history is written by the victors?
Hitler.
He did say that. Oh, my
fucking
God, well
get
done.
It. Get in.
100%. I was not expecting you to get that.
Do you know why I know that?
No.
So Sam, aka Seven, that I am doing a bit of gaming with, we came up with a game called Hitler versus Trump. Hitler or Trump, sorry. So Sam would give me a list of questions and it's a statement and I have to guess who it was, Hitler or Trump. And I'm pretty sure
that
was
one of them. In no world could you imagine Trump saying something so clever as history is written by the victors?
You'd be surprised though. There's a lot of statements in there. I mean, no,
China.
He's a thick cunt. But
yeah,
China.
He's a thick cunt.
But the,
China.
China. China.
Oh, you've got to do lips.
China.
China.
We're going to make America great again.
No, I sounded like who was that black guy that died? South African bloke.
Oh, Nelson Mandela.
We will make America great again.
Perfect.
Donald Mandela.
Two incredible historical figures that are so completely in line in all of their policies. I love that.
And
so
they look
much.
The same. Same hair.
Yes, 100%. They look the same. I don't see colour.
Could you imagine Mandela with, with Trump's little wig on?
I actually can. And I'm so sorry to South Africans. I have that image in my head right now. So, get rid of that zin. Quick water break.
Yeah, you swill that zin sin out. The zin sin.
Nice. So, this primary source that we got, The History of Pirates, the first edition said that Edward was born in Jamaica, that he was born over there to British parents, probably from Bristol, and he lived his life on the sea. The second
Sorry,
says
Liverpool
that,
just scored.
Oh, well done. Who are they playing?
Newcastle. It's a game of all games.
Moving a game on. Of all games.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done.
Thank you. Apologies.
The second edition said that he was born in Bristol. So we don't really know. Bristol at the time is one of the biggest port and most important port cities in the UK. Most important, certainly, for launching expeditions and basically is the gateway into the Americas and the colonies, British colonies out in America. So we don't know. We don't know which one. Da, 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 da. Cut this bit out.
Copyright strike. Cut out there. That was from Pirates of the Caribbean.
So what we... No, it wasn't. That was Jurassic Park.
That was the joke.
Oh.
Gotcha, bitch.
Gotcha. Okay, so somewhere between...
Hair.
Am I?
No, I'm only joking. You look like Blackbeard under there.
Jermaine Greer?
I don't know who that is.
I'm pretty sure, if I'm correct, she's a feminist who grew her arm hair out, but I'm not sure. Okay.
Some weirdo will find that to use as pornographic material now, you know?
Can you just cut all of that out? Can you just cut all of that bit out?
No, never. Well, porn's now got an age restriction on it, mate, so you need to get it where you can legally now. Or I've heard on the streets you can just set up a VPN and anything works, but it might be a vicious rumour.
Didn't the usage of VPNs go up like 70% overnight or something? Something crazy?
Definitely wouldn't find it on my bank account.
Excellent. So somewhere between 1715 and 1716, Edward arrives in Nassau. Which is in the Caribbean. It's an island in Caribbean. And after Tortuga got sacked, as we well know, Nassau kind of becomes the hub for piracy. And Edward is looking for a crew to join. And the person that he wants to look for very specifically is Benjamin Hornigold.
That's a solid name as well.
Hornigold. He's made horny by gold.
Bit like Goldmember from Austin Powers.
Yeah, 100%.
I like gold!
So, one event solidified Nassau as a base for piracy. On the 31st of July in 1715, a hurricane rages off the coast of Florida. And Spanish
ships... It's like a
ship
Mordor.
Mordor.
No one can simply walk into Florida.
I think there's some sort of pollen in the air because I am...
Yeah, you've taken my sniffing right to a new level, mate.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Enjoy it.
So there are some Spanish ships that are absolutely laden with gold coins that are being taken from the New World over to Spain. And unfortunately, they're caught in the eye of this storm, this hurricane, just off the coast of Cuba. By morning, the entire fleet has sunk. 1,500 sailors are dead, and there are a few surviving in lifeboats. Days later, the silver and the gold begins to wash up on the Floridian coast. So this entices many people, especially the pirates in nearby Nassau, to try and grab the booty. The booty. Henry
we
Jennings.
We all like grabbing a booty, don't we? Especially one, if it's ridden in gold.
Yes, 100%. One such pirate. He basically allows the Spanish to collect as much of the plunder as they could. And when they consolidate it on the beach...
Is this
he
Mr.
then,
Beard again?
No, this is Henry Jennings. This is a different guy.
Oh, not Mr. Beard. Okay.
No, we're just talking about Nassau. I've kind of... This paragraph probably should have gone before the other one, but it's,
so are we done
it's
with
kind of
Blackbeard
because it's...
Now?
No, we're not done with Blackbeard. Please just let me get through okay. this and I'll
Sorry.
Get back to Blackbeard.
Sorry.
Please! I'm doing my best right now. Okay, so he jumps out, they raid the beach, and then they retreat back to Nassau. So this is Henry Jennings, right? And inspired by the success, many outcasts and wannabe pirates flock to Nassau, and thus it is solidified as a base for piracy in the Americas. And it is into this world that Edward Thatch comes along and wants to join Benjamin Hornigold's crew.
The Mandem.
We don't know exactly how this happened, but by the summer of 1716, Thatch is a member of Hornigold's crew. And as part of this crew, he learns many vital lessons about being the captain, being the leader on a pirate ship. Most important of all, he learns that you have to keep the prizes flowing in. There has to be lots of booze, you've got to be loads of food, and there
lots
has to be money. Lots of booty of all varieties. Because of these lessons, because he's a quick learner, he is rising through the ranks from 1716, 1718. And to be a leader on a pirate ship, you need skills in navigation, in literacy, in numeracy. So we can kind of extrapolate that he may have come from maybe a well-to-do family and that he was able to read and write, or perhaps he learned that himself.
He likes
but
geography.
He does like geography, especially the geography of booty, of your booty.
What
he likes
it?
The
if
geography of your booty.
If your job is geography, what's like the term for it?
Geographer.
Sorry. It just wouldn't click in my brain.
I feel like you're slow, I'm slow.
Do you know, up
like
until last year, I thought
than it should have been.
I literally thought geography was just where places were on the map.
Yeah, well, it's a bit more than that, isn't it? It's
yeah,
even things like city planning and all this sort of thing that's part of it. Yeah.
Lightning.
Mental lightning.
Blitz. It's another lesson for you all.
Blitzkrieg. Yes, 100%.
That Blitzkrieg, though. Does Blitzkrieg mean lightning?
Yes.
Wow.
It does. Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
The only thing I'll take from this podcast, I reckon.
Well, yeah, we got our pop quiz to do at the end. So
oh, you haven't, have you actually
listen.
Done one?
Well, no, I'm just going to make it up as I go along.
Okay, all right, okay.
Oh, cool. So by 1717, the British authorities have really honed in on the Bahamas as being the centre of piracy in the region. They're getting quite annoyed at the nuisance that is the pirates over there. And because, as we already mentioned, the War of Spanish Succession is already over, they're really wanting to crack down on piracy.
The Spaniards had to scrap, didn't they?
The Spaniards did, but this is the British authorities right. that we're talking about this time. Clearly not listening. So Nassau is definitely in their sights. An 8-gun sloop...
sloop is
a ship. I've not written this out very well at all. So at this
well,
time,
for the thickheads, a sloop is a ship.
A sloop is a ship, and it might come up a fair bit. So keep that in your mind, if nothing else.
Sloop
by
the
this
goop.
Point, Edward Teach has, or Edward Thatch, whichever one you want to say. I'm going to say Thatch from now on. He is in command of an 8-gun sloop in Hornigold's fleet. And they spy a brigantine of the Royal Navy that is en route to Kingston in Jamaica. I've really not written this well at all. So basically the pirates kind of surround this brigantine and they make it clear that they start firing at it. And the captain of the brigantine, not wanting to get the ship sunk, he orders the ship to stop, and the pirates thus jump on board.
Yes.
They grab jewelry, they grab money, they grab any valuables they can, as well as food. And then they quickly return to their own sloop, and thus they have a feast, they are drinking, and this is the first time that Edward Thatch is referred to as Blackbeard.
Any idea of why that nickname is given to him?
He has a beard that is
black.
Simple
as that.
Yes. He's kind of becoming famous for his, there's kind of a number of things that you might think about as to why he's famous, but what he does is really cultivates his image, and he understands that reputation is more important than your actions, because if people are scared of you, then they're going to give up and surrender an awful lot more quickly.
Do we know if he was black?
No, he was white.
Just within Jamaican roots, you never know. He could have been a bearded
black
man. No,
he was. It was a colony. Jamaica was a British colony. Settled, yeah, by English people. So it's not out of the realms of possibility that a white person was born over there.
Okay.
Because of this success and many others afterwards, Blackbeard decides that he wants to go his own way against Hornigold, basically. He wants to
go your own way.
Own way.
Go your,
go
own,
your
way.
Own way. So that's, we jump ahead. That's so not going to be lined
up,
the
synchronization was irrelevant, but I feel like we could have been a duet then.
We certainly could have been. So he doesn't have to wait long for his chance to kind of strike out and go his own way, like Lindsay Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. We come to the summer of 1717.
Summer of
war
love.
A sloop of war is docked in Nassau. It's badly damaged and the crew bear scars from battle as well. The name of the ship is called the Revenge. Edward is interested in this, and he asks who the captain is and what happened to the ship, and thus we are introduced to a new character. His name is Steve Bonnet.
That is the worst pirate name I've ever heard.
Steve Bonnet. I don't know if
you've
they
got Blackbeard. You've got Blackbeard.
They say
on
Bonnet.
Your door. Let's Bonnet. Go with Bonnet. I'd say Bonnet.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting, but then is it just because I'm? Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah. So you get Blackbeard.
That sounds better.
Yeah, but Edward Thatch. But Steve Bonnet doesn't get a cool nickname, so he's kind of irrelevant, to be fair. But anyway, he asks to meet the captain, and this he does. And the next day, they meet aboard the Revenge. Steve Bonnet is 29 years old, and he isn't really a pirate at all. He is, and I loved putting this in, more a landlubber gentleman. And Blackbeard sees an opportunity here.
Blackbeard's shanking him up, mate.
He is 100% shanking him up.
He is that captain now.
He is absolutely shanking him up, and he offers to join forces with Steve Bonnet. So what his story is that he isn't a sailor or a pirate at all. He was actually the scion, which just means an heir, to a major plantation family in Barbados. But he decided to abandon that entirely by getting hold of a privateering vessel and immediately became a pirate instead. So he manages to get hold of the Revenge. But in the process of this, he comes into an entanglement with the Spanish crew and comes away very much worse for wear. So this means he is absolutely ripe for the taking by Blackbeard. Blackbeard kind of just seizes control of the sloop becomes the captain, literally turns to Steve and says, I'm the captain now. And Steve is forced,
walk that
basically
plank,
just
bitch.
Confined to a cabin on board instead of being in charge.
Plank.
No, he doesn't. He just kicks around. He just kind of kicks around in a dressing gown. He's a bit of a strange figure, is old Stevie boy.
Oh, Bonnet.
So now Blackbeard, old BB, he's in charge of this crew and he sets his sights on America. He's really building a name for himself, and he's kind of going up and down the eastern seaboard of what is now the USA, and he's blockading, he's attacking shipping coming in out of Delaware and New York. Basically just creates a block, and any ship that tries to get through just boards them and steals all their shit.
That's fair.
Pretty sick.
Because you could imagine, like, the rumors going around that Steve Bonnet's gonna come and get you.
And you're like, fuck,
yeah,
do I care?
Fuck off, Steve Bonnet. And then next day, oh, Blackbeard's en route, mate.
Oh, shit. Not Blackbeard.
My arsehole's gaping at that point.
Yeah, you're like, okay, right, that's it, I'm done, 5p, 50p.
I'll walk the plank for him. That could be a euphemism, to be fair.
It certainly could. But because of the location of where these blockades and these attacks are happening... These cities are well settled by this point, and they have printing presses, they have newspapers. The news stories start going into these newspapers, and then it just kind of proliferates around the world that is interested in the Americas, all the way back to London, into France, into Spain, and thus the legend of Blackbeard is born. Pretty cool. For 2 months, he's just attacking ships, even as far as New Jersey, as far north. As more and more ships fall victim to them, a new ship is added to the fleet, and Steve Bonnet is allowed to become commander of that. However, unquestionably, Blackbeard remains the commodore of the entire fleet. The pirates are happy because they've got lots of booty, and they've had lots of rum, and they've had lots of beer.
Sounds like a cracking time, doesn't it? Do you ever, when we're talking about anything like this, do you ever imagine yourself or put yourself within this time zone of history?
Yeah, I just literally just think of it as, oh, well, in real life, what I'd be doing is just, I'd be some, like, working class factory girl or something. Or
I'd like
a surf.
Picture myself as a pirate, but I don't know if I'd cut the mustard, you know. Ginger beard doesn't have as good as a ring to it.
Well, Redbeard existed.
Oh, I could have been Redbeard.
You could have been Redbeard, yeah. I mean, you could have been, but no. Yeah, but you'd get used to that really quickly.
Supposedly, if you close your eyes, you get over it quite quick. So I could be...
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well.
Captain Blindbeard.
Yeah, old Captain Blindbeard, who's just like really sick. Sick as a dog. No sea legs for you. But you'd get used to it.
Just on blow deck being sick. Where's old Captain Blindbeard gone? He's having another sit down.
Just like vomit coming out of the porthole. There he is.
Vomit
just
and
stinking
booty.
Of sick all day long. That'd be horrendous.
Sick,
curd of milk.
Just sick and arseholes.
Yeah. So it does seem like it would be an awful lot of fun. But all I keep thinking about, and I hate that I'm so rational, is just that you'd be so malnourished and dirty, and there'd be lice everywhere, and I just don't know about living on a ship.
That was the time, though, wasn't it? You wouldn't. I don't think. Yeah, but if you were just some working girl, you'd be covered in the same shit. You just wouldn't even think about it back then.
Yeah, 100%. Unless you have loads of money, I don't think life was very fun back then.
No, because you'd end up getting your booty plundered, wouldn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Such is the fate of a woman. That's sad, isn't it?
It's the only reason you were put on the planet.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Who decided to give women an arsehole when the vagine is the main point of entry?
Any holes a goal?
Silly god. Silly god.
So, should we just get into a quick description of what Blackbeard fashioned his image into?
Go on.
So, he apparently had fierce and wild eyes, 3 brace of pistols across his chest. He put burn fuses in his beard and set them on fire prior to a battle, so it looked like his beard was smoking.
And I hate you so much.
Why?
That was in my factual corner.
Well, clearly I knew about it because that was my riddle.
His beard is on fire. That all makes so much sense now.
But you're such a... Come on. Like, I literally gave you the answer before. Why are you getting aggy about it? Why do you keep doing such rubbish
now.
Facts?
Because there's
like,
not
you need
many
to
about,
actually do some research
facts.
On the facts. I like I how did. You've just gone onto the dock now. I can just see you. You're just going
just
through, aren't
it.
You? Critic
oh,
corner.
I deleted it. You're a cunt.
What
mate,
is the point? I spent hours on this research. The least you could do is find a fact that I'm probably not going to have found. Or maybe, do you know what? Maybe I should just make Chris's corner for you.
No, don't do that. That takes away the magic.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you're slowly taking away the magic every week now.
Yeah, because I keep coming. You just don't look very hard for your facts. That's not on me. That's a you problem.
I Google fun facts about pirates and I get what's given.
That's what you did one singular Google search, just like ChatGPT. What's a fun fact about pirates?
Pretty much. And then they're like, here is a fact about pirates. Now I'm like, make it fun.
Would you like a more fun fact? Or is
yes,
it something
please.
That's more educational?
I had a proper chat with AI actually earlier, making up our facts.
Did you?
Really
did they lie? Now. Did it lie to you?
No,
it lied
she
to
told
me.
The truth. She told the truth, but you already knew
hear
it,
how
it, so what was the point?
Do you want to hear how AI lied to me?
Please, miss, I've done so much hard work.
I was trying to get chat... No, this is actually, you're going to feel so bad when I tell you why. And I was trying to get ChatGPT to make a cartoon for us so we could post some of our earlier snippets and shorts from podcasts, but with a cartoon, because obviously we weren't recording then. And it asked me all these questions, because you know what it's like, as soon as you ask one question, then it comes back with, would you like this or would you like this? And we went through like the caption size I wanted, like the size of the video itself so it could go on Instagram and TikTok, all of these things, like, oh, did you want me to just animate the full snippet now, or did you want a 15-second like intro so you can see if you like it or not? And we got to the bottom of it and it said, right, just come back to this page. I'm going to go work on it now. It's going to take me a while. Come back to this page. I waited like 3 hours and then I messaged on the chat and I was like, any danger?
Like a clingy ex or something, aren't you?
Like, yeah. And it was like,
are you going to reply?
It was like, oh, unfortunately, I don't have the ability to do this. So it straight up lied to me. It could
so
have just said at the beginning.
Hours?
Nothing. It didn't do anything. It just lied to me and said it was doing
Fuck
something, but
hell.
It wasn't. Because apparently it's been programmed so that it doesn't say, I don't know. So they
AI
just lie.
AI is learning.
It's not learning.
It just lied to you.
It lied to me.
So it's learned something.
And I was like, that's crazy. And it was like, oh, would you like me to show you how you can do it in Adobe or whatever? And I was like, no, thank you. I don't trust you anymore.
Too much effort, isn't it?
I was like, if I wanted to do it myself, I would have done it myself.
If you generated a animated movie for one of our shorts, I think I would have, I don't know what would have done. That would have been pretty intense.
Yeah, it would have been so cool. But no, ChatGPT lied to me. Insane. This is the future, guys.
Relying on technology that doesn't work.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I wonder how many of my facts have been infactual then.
Well, you never know, especially with history. And especially as far back as the history that we're doing, especially this sort of thing.
Yeah, we could just
you
make all this up.
You never know. I probably have, actually. I didn't do any research. I just sat here and wrote it down. If I did, then it would have been better formatted. If I just made it up. So you know from my mistakes that we didn't just make this up.
She
right,
says.
Can I continue now?
You're the one waffling on, mate. I'm waiting.
I am. Waff.
No.
It's real difficult sometimes with you know?
No, it's deserved, isn't it? Good night.
Right. So there's always a question here. Is this Johnson's artistic license? Because this description comes from his book that we've already spoken about, kind of being a somewhat unreliable source. But it is quite likely that he did intentionally dress this way to incite terror from his victims. And we know this from people that worked with him that were arrested after, spoiler alert, he's killed, were then interrogated. That he did, in fact, he did an awful lot of things so that his reputation would precede him, and it worked really, really well. In fact, too well, almost. But I found what I found really interesting is that this whole like flamboyant dress is a really common thing amongst pirates, because if they got onto a ship that was, say, a passenger ship, and they just robbed everyone, they would like take all of their clothes and even the clothes off their backs, and then they wear them themselves. So they'd be a mixture of like tatty old pirate like gear, and then like these silks and dresses and wigs and jewelry, all stuff that they plundered from kind of rich aristocratic people.
It's like a historic pride march.
Yeah, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should see the ones in Norwich.
Before it was cool.
Exactly that. It was cool for them.
Yeah, exactly. But by this point, he has had success after success, and his crew has grown to 250 men. Which is pretty cool. Multiple ships, 250 men. So the Revenge leads the flotilla in the south, in the Caribbean, south to the Caribbean. And they come across a French slave ship with 14 guns. They unfurl the black flag on the Revenge and attack. And what they are attacking is a ship known as La Concorde. La Concorde. It has 450 slaves chained in the hold. Because this is a massive ship, right, and they've got these much smaller ships, they are much quicker and more manoeuvrable. But what they find is that the French aren't firing any cannons on them. They're not even deployed. So what's happened is the crew has been so afflicted by scurvy and dysentery that only about 20 of them can fight. So they immediately surrender, and the ship is boarded, and it's under Blackbeard's control. So there is a little kind of vignette about the dilemma of the human cargo, because an awful lot of Blackbeard's crew, from differing times, anywhere from 30 to 50% of it is black, is a black crew. So black. Racism doesn't really exist amongst the pirates.
Good for them. But
slaves, any like escaped slaves or enslaved people are allowed to join the pirates. It kind of becomes
he's just tripled
a
his
beacon
army.
Of hope. Well, yeah. Except there's this kind of strange, and the historians that I listened to tried to spin it in a certain way, that if they were too fresh from Africa, or if they weren't slaves from the Caribbean, they weren't really that useful, because it was almost as if they put it on a spin of they're even more foreign. But the ones that had been over for a while, or the ones that were born in the Caribbean, had the advantage of certain skills or language that could be useful to the pirates.
A good immigration system.
Yeah. Well, not a good immigration system, because they kind of just gave the slaves back to the
French
people.
Kind of sounds like what's happening now, doesn't it? If you've been here a while, you can stay. If you're coming here, though, out your fucking door, mate.
Yeah. Stop the boats.
It's a great system we're rocking right now.
Is it?
I'm I'm not. I was gonna say I get behind.
They're talking
it, but
about
that would be a
using.
Lie.
They're talking about using gunships on the small boats coming over from Europe.
Tommy Robinson would have been a great pirate.
Yeah, fuck that.
Captain
guy.
Robbo.
Oh God, Captain Robbo.
How's that cunt still A, out of prison, and B, alive?
I don't know. I think he's trying to make himself out to be. He was like, I'm not a racist. I grew up in Luton. Like, some of my friends are black. I was like,
but yeah. Oh well. We're not a political podcast, are we? But get them all out.
Yeah. What? Excellent. What?
So
he allows the vast majority to be given back to the French captain and to be sold back into slavery, but some of them probably joined and were part of the crew. So the Concorde is then taken to the remote island of Bekia in the Grenadines, where it is refitted to be the flagship of Blackbeard's fleet, which is the... Do you know the name of the ship?
Is that where Grenadine was born? You know the little thing you put in an alcoholic drink?
Like a syrup?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea, but I'm going to guess yes.
Makes
but
sense,
I can only imagine
it?
That you don't know the name of Blackbeard's flagship.
The Beardy Boys.
No.
Okay. Clue? And by clue, don't do what your sister does and just tell me the fucking answer, because that winds me up. I need a proper clue. I need to get to
I mentioned the other name for the Spanish War of Succession.
You did?
Yes. What was it?
Successor.
You didn't listen, did you?
Nope.
You don't listen. No, this you is really the problem. Don't listen.
I do, but it literally goes in one ear and somehow wafts its way out the side of this one.
Okay. So
sorry.
Have a think about it and I'll come back to you in a second, okay? So when they've taken the French ship, the French people and the slaves over to Grenadine, the Concorde is being refitted. Yeah. So they even give a smaller sloop to the Frenchmen, obviously take the guns away, and give them the remaining slaves that they haven't joined the crew. Yeah. And it's quite funny, the Frenchmen call this ship, as they're sailing it back with their tail between their legs, Bad Meeting, which bad I thought meeting. Was quite funny. By the 10th of December, this French ship lands in Martinique and they relay their encounter about Blackbeard to the authorities there. So more people are gathering interest. Have you thought about what the ship is called?
Revenge Squared.
A woman's name? Yeah, Revenge is in it. It's a woman's name.
Revenge of the Dawn Spreader.
The Dawn Spreader?
It's got Dawn in it. That's a woman's name.
Okay. Queen Anne's Revenge.
Ah, shit, mate.
Yeah. No, what?
Would
your
I have
shit.
Known Queen Anne was there?
Queen Anne's Revenge. I literally said that the war is called Queen Anne's War.
I don't believe you said that.
I did say that, and
but
we can listen
I can
back
guarantee
through.
When I go back because and edit it, it will be there, because every yeah. time I say you've not said it, you have. So
yeah, exactly.
That's a me
so
issue.
So this is actually a satirical dig at the British monarch George I, who was the first king of the Hanover line, who was a German, and they supplanted the Stuart line that had come to an end with Queen Anne in Britain. So I guess this is his, like, fuck you, King George, because obviously the British authorities don't like pirates very much at this point. It
That's
is a frigate. It is a frigate-sized flagship, which means it's an awful lot bigger than the other pirate vessels at the time. It has upwards of 40 guns, it's 250 tons, and is at least as large as the 5th and 6th rate frigates in the Royal Navy that are used to defend the Empire.
I feel like you could make a good Grimes song out of that.
What, 40 guns, 250 tons?
Yeah, you just need to put a little bit of a spin
frigates.
On it.
Upwards Yo. Of 4...
One minute, hit the beat. Don't stop. Come on, this is serious. Rewind that ship. I got upwards to 40 guns. Coming round here on your ship, I got hundreds of tons. Come on here, bruv, I got them guns. Gonna shoot you on the booty, got them buns. That's the Kettering coming out of me. You know it. We can release that as a track. Copyright that one, bitch.
Copyright strike, big man. We'll finally get enough money to cover the microphones. £80, man.
That was a lot of money, bro. Wait, going back to a moment in our history.
Yes.
You know, you suggested putting me through history GCSE.
Yes.
Are you, what do you reckon I'm getting? From what, how much I've listened through our podcast so far, what do you think I'm getting?
I would go as far as to give you an E.
No step up there then. Just hit him.
No,
hitting
the
no,
you
heights.
Said you got a U, didn't you?
Yeah, but I remember. See, now you're not been listening. Because I looked back through them and I got an E.
Oh, right. There you go. Well, mine's gone from an A star to an A then, I guess.
All right.
I
don't
That's
know what to say to that. You
thing
just have
I've
my
done.
Pants down.
Such a cringy succession.
And
of
just for anyone
that
cares,
said.
Liverpool
I'm think
now
about
2-0 up.
Excellent. Well done.
That. Cheers.
Okay, good. So, blah, blah, blah. We've already done that. This meant that the pirates finally have a warship that is as big as the other warships that they were going to be confronting. And it also had three times as many crew on board, which is a massive advantage because piracy in them days is shoot it a little bit, get up close, overwhelm it,
board that ship,
pillage, get out of there.
Yeah, it's a lot of mouths to feed though.
So with, but like the booty,
You could eat booty for days, to be fair. That would fill me up.
Yes. So he sails through the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and Florida, and he is incredibly successful with Queen Anne's Revenge, and his reputation really starts to precede him. What we find out is that even though he has this fearsome reputation, he's actually quite judicious. And he was so feared he didn't really need to fight. So there's an awful lot of accounts that come from his victims, and therefore there had to be survivors. So he didn't hurt or kill anyone really prior to his battle with the Royal Navy later.
He's a respectable man.
He is a real respectable man, actually. Yeah.
Sounds like a well highly to do man, and he's just
highly to do man, Blackbeard. Yes. Yeah. So in 1718 we get a proclamation which it is 1717, the proclamation for the suppression of pirates is signed by the king back in England, and this really clamps down on piracy. And this is kind of like the death knell for Blackbeard. It's sounding off in his mind. He's thinking the point of the proclamation is that on or before the 5th of December in 1717, pirates should surrender and they will be pardoned. So they would go to a governor or a administrative official near wherever they are, present the case, and they would be pardoned so that anything that they had done up to January 1718... Yeah, I'm not really sure if that worked, you know.
Honourable,
the 5th of December, 1717. I'm guessing that could be 1718.
Could be.
Basically, I think they had up until the 5th of December in 1718, I'm thinking, to go and get a pardon. However, this pardon would only apply to crimes that had been committed before January 1718.
Pardon?
So you could go and get a pardon in December, pardon? But that pardon wouldn't cover... Oh, you prick!
Gotcha, you bitch!
It would only cover the crimes committed before January 1718. You hate you. I hate you. Thus, the Pirate Republic's days are numbered. Blackbeard understands that this is a get out of jail free card. You can literally do these crimes and keep your treasures. So an awful lot of his men are going to want to take this deal. So he decides, I'm going to have to fucking get rich or die trying prior to this point. 50 Cent. Just imagine Blackbeard as 50 Cent or 50 Cent as Blackbeard, whichever
one you
want.
Wouldn't have been a good plunder though, would it?
What, 50 Cent?
Yeah. Not worth your time.
Just for inflation, maybe.
Good point. One gold coin.
One singular gold coin. Probably not that great.
No, that'd be and a buttload more than 50 Cent. One.
Yeah, 100%. 50 Cent, 100%. Oh. Can you just sort yourself out, please?
50%, 100%.
You didn't really read. I haven't been looking at you at all, and I've just come back onto this.
Have I been read this whole time?
No, I haven't been looking.
I'm feeling
warm. You're looking really warm, to be fair. Like,
hot.
Really red. So, in the 22nd of May, 1717, Blackbeard thus begins a... Begins?
It's gone to shit, mate.
We're putting it back. We've done an hour so far. We don't have much more to go. Can we just lock in, please?
Lock in.
We are locked in and we are carrying on. 22nd of May, 1717, Blackbeard thus begins the most brazen series of attacks he's ever started. And this starts in Charlestown, which soon has become Charleston, South Carolina. And the idea being that he gets a large final score for him and his crew before accepting a pardon and going straight.
What, he used to be gay?
Yeah, and now he's like, no, the king doesn't allow that anymore. So fair. He's going to get a pardon. Pardon?
He got way too big for his boots.
He did. He's never too big for the boot. That's what the king said to him.
Now he's got those big size 12s on his feet.
I don't know.
I don't know if that was even correct.
I think it is. There's something about that, but I don't know. I'm too white for that. So Queen Anne's Revenge sets up a blockade to stop incoming and outcoming merchants. But unfortunately, the booty just ain't that good. And within a few weeks, the merchants learn of this and they decide to just give the port a wide berth. But what they're doing is they're disrupting a really large and important port in the area. So he knows that there's going to be an awful lot of attention on this. And he decides that he's got to run away before the Royal Navy arrives.
What a pussy.
When he's on his way, the passenger ship named the Crowley comes into view. At this point, Blackbeard's crew is sick, they've got scurvy, and they really need a win. So he captures the Crowley and he holds them to ransom. Amongst the people on board, the civilians, is a man named Samuel Ragg. Old Ragg, as ragged as his podcast is right now. He is a wealthy merchant and a member of the ruling council. So he's got really important people on board, and he sends a ransom demand to the governor of Charleston, Governor Johnson, and requests a chest of medical supplies so he can help his crew out, basically. Fair enough. The governor doesn't comply, he says he'll behead the captives. And they've got no choice really but to comply with it. So they medicine is loaded into a chest and it's given to the crewmen. And the hostages are sent to shore. What's quite funny is the governor says that they're pretty much naked when they arrive. The crew's taken even the clothes off their back. and Blackbeard escapes heading north. Just left, right and centre, man. So January 1718.
He's got an eclectic wardrobe, 100%.
He does. And I just love the idea of him just being in a dress.
The birth
with
of a
like a wig. Yeah. And then he's just got like fuses set out of his
he's got
beard.
That hipster beard with the Christmas lights hanging out of it.
Yeah, 100%.
A dress and, on, some fantastic boots.
And maybe like a flannel shirt, like one of those like lumberjack shirts.
Absolute
some braces
G.
out of nowhere.
Yeah. Bit of chest hair on the go.
He only drinks his coffee from like the independent places in Nassau. Like he did oat milk before it was cool.
He milked those oats.
He certainly milked those oats. Okay, so we come to January 1718. This is the deadline for any crimes that the pirates have committed being pardoned. And he knows that the crimes he's already committed are enough to see him hanged. So he's really, he's teetering a balance here. He still hasn't made the money that he wants to make prior to, he hasn't made the money that he wants to make prior to going straight. He hasn't got a pardon yet. So he knows that the British Empire is coming for him as well. He's going to struggle to make port anywhere. So he's really become a victim of his own success because he has by far the largest flotilla of pirates in that area. He's really recognisable, which, as we've already discussed, is useful because it means people surrender, but it also means that people see him coming a mile off and he knows he's got enemies coming. So what he does is actually really, is quite cool, to be fair. This is proper like a Thomas Shelby moment, I think. He's in Beaufort, North Carolina, and he actually orders his flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, to be run aground. And testimonies from his captains that are later interrogated suggest that he did this intentionally so that he would break up the company and take away with him only the people that he trusted. Yeah, basically, because he was like, this is too big. We've probably got spies and informants in the group because it's just such a large group. The Queen Anne's Revenge is far too recognisable. So he created like a diversion, basically, ran aground the Queen Anne's Revenge and then just escaped with only the people that he trusted the most and
he
a much
that
smaller
beamer
crew.
In for a fiesta.
Did you see what I done?
What?
Came with black ones left and a white one.
Nice, mate.
Woo!
You got me back. No, this is such a grime special. Come on, look.
It is. Blackbeard would have been a grime MC. We all know it. Don't argue.
Wait, Blackbeard. Blackbeard on the mic.
Blackbeard on the mic with a strong Bristol accent, like H, but Bristolian instead of Mancunian.
Nice. I like it.
Nothing I'm saying is landing today. I was so funny in the last one, and I've got nothing on this one.
Yeah, you never
fucking
know.
Fucking Auschwitz, man.
Laugh. Yeah, Auschwitz has done you in.
It has done me in.
You should watch Happy Gilmore before the next one.
Yes, you're quite right. I should. Or just like listen to Finn versus History or something.
Yep. No competition. Fuck them dolls.
Listen to the other episodes of Backseat Historian because they are the funniest and best historical podcast that you could possibly listen to. Thank you. The other ones if you hadn't already.
I'll edit the other bit out that you just said. No one needs to hear that.
Can you edit the other stuff out at the beginning as well?
I'll edit something out. I don't know if I want my child's face on here, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that too. You got a lot Talking of editing to do today, babe. Yeah. Okay.
The armpits stay, though.
So, what he just... No, don't. Can you just, like... Please. Please. Do you know what this is like?
The podcast will get cut down to about 5 minutes if I edit all this out.
This is... Do you know what this is like, though? This is like, you know, when, like, if you're younger, I can imagine you'd be the sort of person that, if we were brother and sister, you would have, like, grabbed a spider and then, like, shoved it in my face. That's exactly what this feels like, where I'm saying, no, please, can you edit out my armpits? And then you're just, like, waving the spider frantically in my face and I'm like, please get away. That's the vibe I'm getting from this conversation.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Yes, you would.
Not.
Oh, is it because of the
I wouldn't do the spider, but the armpits can stay.
No, okay, fine. Excellent. So at this point, with his much smaller crew, Blackbeard knows that they need to find a local governor who will grant them the pardon and they need to escape the hangman's noose. But he's not going to set foot on land until he is pardoned. So he decides to send Bonnet out to try and get his own pardon. Whilst he does this, because he's a fucking idiot, Blackbeard rallies his men and he maroons all of Bonnet's, the men loyal to Bonnet on a nearby island. They raid Bonnet's sloops, they take ammunition and weapons and money, and basically fuck off. So he's just,
good thing
he's
to
just
do
absolutely
when
sold
Bonnet
up the river.
Yeah.
Well, he's just... He's consolidating his money. He's kind of testing the waters, I guess, to see. But I think it was all a ploy just to steal the money and supplies from Bonnet, make his crew even smaller. So I think he only has about 40 to 50 crew now. And the crew that he marooned on the island, it did have a fishing settlement, so they would survive, but they couldn't follow. But Blackbeard then sails around for a week so he can avoid when Bonnet goes back to find out his sloop has been sacked. And he returns to Beaufort, basically avoiding Bonnet completely, to seek his own pardon. all the while, he's still doing raids, hoping to get this pardon.
He's a lad, mate.
Yeah, he just can't
just
stop. Won't stop.
Continue. He knows nothing. He knows no other.
He eventually goes to the residence of the governor, Charles Eden. I think this is in North Carolina. And he thinks if he goes himself, then he might be able to cut a deal. And some kind of deal was reached because in September 1718, there is a pardon for him and his crew. So 40 to 50 crew, they are all given the pardon. They are allowed to settle in North Carolina and they are kind of defense, like a first line of defense if anyone comes and attacks. But also they would disappear off and somehow come back to this area with a load of booty. And that thus really propped up the local economy too. So the governor wasn't looking too much into this, but obviously all they were doing was just going off and being pirates but then coming back and giving and splitting the money out amongst the kind of local area. Once a pirate, never always
pirate's life for me.
It is literally a pirate's life for Blackbeard.
Yeah, he loves
it. So at one point Blackbeard is towing a French cargo ship full of sugar which he's obviously just fucking stolen to Ocracoke Island, which I love. Ocracoke. island, and he strips the vessel of its goods. And he brings back the discovery to the governor. And the governor's like, oh, where did you find all this French sugar? And Blackbeard's like, I just found it. It's just been abandoned. It's crazy. And Eden's like, what? Like all this other stuff you just found? He's like, yeah, I don't know what's happening. People are just leaving things to me. This is insane. But it kind of works for Eden, because he's like, well, we're getting more supplies. We're getting more money. These guys are sticking around. So he makes it all legal. He accepts the story and he legitimizes the discoveries. But the French crew of the ship that Blackbeard had stolen obviously provided testimony that pirates had taken the goods. So obviously word is getting out that there are some pirates still in the area.
He needs to kill more, our Blackbeard.
Yeah, he does. He's actually too nice for his own good, which is not something you'd think of Blackbeard, is it?
No, he's digging his own hole.
But news of the ongoing antics thus reaches Virginia Governor Alexander Spotswood, and he decides he wants to capture Blackbeard.
It'd be good if you need to make a house or something. You spot that wood.
Oh, Spotswood. No, that was
well
bad.
Done. Nice. Another brilliant one from you tonight.
Fuck!
Damn it.
Sorry,
this it must be nearly
cursed.
There.
This is cursed. Cursed. We are so nearly there. Okay, so he was also a very corrupt governor, but he wants to get rid of Blackbeard. He's got concerns that Blackbeard might be threatening the shipping that's going in and out of Chesapeake Bay. So he conspires with captains of two Royal Navy vessels and dispatches them to defend Chesapeake Bay and take Blackbeard. So one group is deployed from Virginia illegally into North Carolina in order to kind of try and get Blackbeard. The other group is led by Robert Maynard, and he sails two commandeered merchant ships called the Ranger and the Jane in search for the pirate. And they've sequestered the armed sailors below deck. So it looks like it's just a regular merchant ship, and from the outside looking in, you can't see any of the armed sailors. He approaches the Ocracoke Island on the morning of the 22nd of November 1718. So the Adventure, which is Blackbeard's sloop, can be seen from where they are as they approach the beach. At the time, Blackbeard and his crew were on the beach, but they'd had a party the night before and they were hungover. So they didn't notice that these two vessels had... were approaching until they'd pretty much arrive, and then the ships begin to attack.
Oh,
so obviously
no.
the crew sounds the alarm. Blackbeard, real hungover, like stumbles onto the deck, and they start to return fire. So the Ranger is hit and is run aground, and Blackbeard's like, we've got the upper hand. So he decides to then board and plunder the Jane, which unfortunately plays directly into Maynard's hands. The sailors from below decks rush up, and a huge fight ensues. Across the fighting, Blackbeard and Maynard lock eyes, and then they begin dueling, and they're exchanging blows.
Awesome.
And it's all seeming pretty equal until another sailor sees his opportunity. He raises his pistol and he fires at Blackbeard. But despite having been shot, Blackbeard continues to fight with Maynard. But then he gets absolutely riddled with bullets and dies.
That's just fucking pussy hole, isn't it?
That's a cracking end, though.
At least let them finish the bout and then shoot.
What they should have done was formed a ring and it'd be like winner takes all.
Form the square.
Yes. Form the square.
Form the square, Blackbeard.
Form the square. Gauntlet. He just takes off his real nice like silk glove that he's stolen from one of the people on that on that passenger ship, and he just like slaps Maynard around the face with it and then drops it on the floor.
Challenging him to that duel.
In his like wig with with all these jewels and stuff. He's like severely hungover. He slaps him around the face.
That would have been excellent.
So investigations continue. Hang on. I missed something. So yeah, Blackbeard's
killed. You skipped something.
I did. The remaining pirates then surrender when they find out that Blackbeard died. Maynard severs Blackbeard's head from his body and he hangs it from the rigging of the Jane. The rest of his body is thrown overboard where, according to legend, it swam around the ship three times before sinking below the waves.
Damn.
Hot damn.
Damn, girl.
After this, investigations continue. The official customs barn in North Carolina is searched and more goods that are found that came from plundered French merchant ships. What? Eden's like, nah. And how did that get there?
Wasn't mine, mate.
What? Never knew that. That's crazy.
Fuck's sake.
But lawsuits are brought against Maynard and Spotswood because the raids were illegal. Technically, Blackbeard wasn't doing anything illegal despite being a pirate because Eden had signed it all off and said it was legitimate. But nothing really comes of that at all. And Steve Bonnet is also rounded up. The Blackbeard's crew is put on trial by Spotswood. Bonnet actually manages to escape a couple of times whilst his rest of his crew are put to death. But then he gets brought back to jail in late November. This is just before Blackbeard is killed. And then he is hung in December of 1718.
Rip Bonnet.
And yeah, that is the story of Blackbeard.
Beardiest which Blackiest. Is, what a hero.
Yeah. Cracking. Very good story. What I have put on the bottom of my notes, which was quite interesting that you've then... I put press ganging and then you put gang banging. So... And then you changed press ganging to gang banging. Did you do that? Did you know you've done that?
Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't notice. That's incredible. And you just touched and went off of it.
So it was something that I came across, and I think I knew of it anyway, but I thought it was just an interesting point. So, you know, when we were talking about during these different wars, the Royal Navy had to grow in size massively in order to fight what were predominantly naval battles at this time. So in order to get more sailors, they just grabbed people. So if you were in the wrong place at the wrong time by the docks, you literally, because they would send sailors out and they would literally just surround you and kidnap you, and then you're just part of the Royal Navy. And that's what press ganging is called. Yeah, it's mental.
A grabbing on the dock of the bay.
Wasting time, now I'm in the Royal Navy.
Nice, we're fucking... We need to get to the music industry.
Ooh. Cool, yeah, so that's gang banging. I didn't even mean to say it.
Excellent. That's press ganging, guys. Excuse her awful mind.
Okay, so we did also have some stuff about cross-dressing pirates, but this
We've
is cursed.
That.
Yeah.
That's cursed like the gold of Blackbeard, mate.
There were two women who dressed up as men. I was just trying to link it back to Joan because Anne Bonny and Mary Read were both pirates who were only pirates for 61 days before they were caught. But they were women that dressed up as men.
They've got nothing on Joan.
They got put on trial. Yeah, it literally is. And then they got put on trial and then they claimed they were pregnant. And then one of them died, the other one, don't know what happened. But there you go.
Interesting. A lot of thought went into that little fact, didn't it?
A lot. I've got like 4 pages of notes on that, but I was just
can't
like,
be asked.
Yeah, I can't be asked. That's it for today, folks.
I don't even know
folks.
What day it is anymore. What is it, Monday night?
It's somehow still Sunday. So, oh, it's not even Sunday. Ugh. Let's go on to...
Don't drink, kids.
...how you would have done this differently.
Right, I feel like his demise was getting pissed on the beach.
Which is
fine.
Unfortunate, because what pirates do.
It's one of the boys getting pissed with the lads. It's absolutely fine. You need to install some watchmen, a bit like they did on the Titanic.
Do you know what they call it? Shark watch.
They need to get shark watch on board.
Yeah. And just had a couple of people that didn't get as drunk as everyone else.
No, they're not even allowed to drink. They get a bit of extra plunder, a bit more booty.
Yeah.
Just for one night, lads. do not. So going back to Tommy Shelby, he says no fighting. Blackbeard say no drinking.
Yeah.
No drinking. No drinking. Yeah. Extra 50 quid.
No fucking drinking.
Exactly. They're just sat there watching. Oi, mate. Two Navy ships over there.
Oh, no, but they thought there were merchant ships.
Two merchant Navy ships over there. Yeah, but you need to be prepared for anything to happen.
Yeah, quite right, actually. And they so should have known. But they'd been lulled bitches into a false sense of security at this point because they thought they had the backing of the pardon. And they thought that any official would have observed that.
Nearly.
Okay.
So, yeah. But then his second in command also shouldn't have been drinking. Someone with a brain on him.
So you were basically saying that how you would have done things differently is you would have denied the very nature of pirates and you would have told them they weren't able to drink.
Just for one night, and it's in a bit of a rotation scheme, you know? It's like, tomorrow night, you do what you want, boy.
You're
you
have on all duty.
That booty, all that
you
rum.
You can't drink.
Yeah.
You get a couple of extra. You get 50p. You get 50 cent.
Yeah, you know you've always got that mate that's just doesn't get as drunk so they can watch after you.
Shark watch. Desi drives. They needed a Desi drives.
A designated driver. Designated,
designated
sailor.
Driver and they're good to go.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Cool. Shark win. Watch, designated driver, and Blackbeard and would have been around.
Still be here today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
You never know.
Very well done. Have you Thank got you. Any facts remaining in your fact corner?
I mean, you've not taken too many then, to be fair. Out of the four I did, you got rid of one.
Perfect. Right,
so,
hit me.
So, Blackbeard's favourite drink was rum mixed with gunpowder.
Yeah, so this is another one of the things that
I'm glad you didn't bring it up.
Was kind of said about him, that obviously... Gunpowder... What is that? Gin? Gunpowder gin?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well...
It could be rum. But he was probably firing some shots out of his cock after drinking that, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
In that booty.
Beep, 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 beep.
Did you know why pirates used to wear eye patches?
So they could look through a spyglass?
No. Another
guess?
They
could aim their pistols?
I'll give you three guesses, and now you're down to one.
Because... A bird plucked out their other eye?
No. So, they'd wear their eye patches, so one eye was always adjusted to the dark.
That's
incredible. So when they went below deck, they then switch eye patch to the other eye, so this one is already kicked into the darkness so they can see what they're up to.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because you always need to find the route to that booty.
Yeah, you need to find that booty.
Find that booty in the dark.
I suppose is quite important at that time because I was like, they could just literally adjust. But I suppose if you're trying to board another ship and you're kind of shooting people at the time, that yeah, you probably need the speed.
Yeah, so you just flick that off and away you go.
Excellent. Very
one
good.
One more
We've
fact
got a food
until we get
one.
On to our culinary one. I've got another one before we get to that.
Oh, yay. Okay, go for it.
The pirates were quite a handy bunch and if any of them were injured, they'd be highly compensated. So they weren't
yes.
just fucked off. It wasn't like, oh, your hand's blown off. See you later, mate.
Yeah, you get money. But didn't
They've
you get
insurance.
More money
Pirate
for...
insurance.
Didn't you get more money for missing, like...
Loss of
a
limb.
Finger rather
I've
than
put loss of limb.
A leg.
I don't know. I've just put loss of limb.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's all like, if you lose an eye, you get more money than if you were to lose your leg.
Yeah, so it's like insurance policy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'd sign up to be a pirate if I'm getting something out of it.
Yeah, like life insurance.
Right. How many bowls of golden nuggets do you reckon you could fit in a galleon?
Oh, bowls? What kind of bowl? Like just a regular
Just
cereal
a regular
bowl.
So two, so on a box it would say a serving size. And after my research, one bowl is approximately two servings. So
no way.
Two servings per
That's
box.
So wrong.
No, it's not because one serving's pathetic, mate.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. I'm going to go high.
Go on.
500,000.
Double it.
Oh my God, not this again. 1,000,000.
Triple it.
3,000,000.
Times it by 10.
Oh, you... 30 million.
Bang on the nose.
You double it. Excellent. Do you know where you're going when you start that? When you say, when you like double it, triple it? Like, do you actually do the maths in your head, or do you just see where it goes?
As soon as it gets to an easy equation, that's when it jumps up to the pinnacle.
Excellent.
It's a lot of cereal.
Yeah, times it by 10, you get really excited then. You're like, I can do this one.
What I didn't take into a fact is that's a lot of cereal, but that's a lot of milk.
That is an exceptional amount of milk.
Who was the black that would have been milk? Very heavy. Castro. He would have been all over that. He would have supplied that milk.
Oh, yeah. What kind?
Just going back in time.
Goat? Regular.
Nah, cows, mate. He breeded was that it? Super
he had
cow,
he had the cow, didn't he? Yeah.
The super cow. I remember that now. If you haven't listened to that one, go back to it. I can't remember which episode it was.
The heady days of the Cuban Missile Oopsie.
That's the one. Oops.
Oopsie. Cool. Okay, so quiz. What was Blackbeard's flagship called?
Revenge.
No, his flagship. Oh,
Queen Anne's Revenge.
Well done, yes. What was Blackbeard's birth name? Either one.
Edward Thatch.
Well done. What year did he get ussed up and killed?
1748. 1718. Oh, 30 years off. It wasn't bad.
What was the name of the pirate island in the beginning?
Tortuga.
Yeah, nice. That's quite good. You think you were listening?
I only got one wrong.
Yes.
So that's a win.
That is a win. Win winner. Chicken dinner.
Riddle time?
Riddle time, everyone. See if you can remember what this is. Can you just do a little introduction or something whilst I think of one?
So I did this introduction last week, but I'll do it again because I thought there'd be some preparation for this. Megan is now going to riff a riddle for next week's episode. And while she's thinking, I'll do a little jingle. Megan's Riddle Riff. Go.
Cool. Okay.
Come on. You had a lot of time for that. I dragged that one out.
That is a very tall and scary looking Geordie.
And he loves a bit of Battenberg.
Stop ruining it! Stop ruining it every time! And you come in with something, it's just so fucking obvious. Oh, I've got a jar of dirt. They're meant to be difficult.
That was difficult.
Did you remember because I had it up, or did remember because of what I said?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I didn't know it was from Newcastle.
Yes.
Don't say that.
I can't say, but yes, that is in Newcastle. Well, Cumbria, up there.
Nice. Had to hold back on a little statement/quote then, because that would have ruined it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that famous quote. I was trying to think of something that I could put in, but then I was like, it's just going to sound stupid. So I went with that Geordie's that pretty tall and scary.
And handsome.
And handsome.
Good looking bloke.
Good. Yes, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. Have you not watched it?
I don't want to give anything away, you know?
Good point.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone so much for bearing with us through that. I was not on
that was a hard
today.
One.
I'm so sorry. I will be drinking next time, I promise, and it'll be
I think that's
a
where
good
you
one.
Fell off.
I think we just didn't do it justice. It was such a good story. It was such a good subject. And if anything I should be drinking for, it should really be the pirates. And I didn't. I
Why
let you all
we weren't
down.
Drinking rum?
I let Blackbeard down.
You did.
I let the side down. Oh, it's just not good
you should
enough,
be
is it
hanged.
Really? Yeah.
Not
hung by the neck. Hanged. Cool. Okay. Well, bye everyone. See you next time. Email us in about how bad that was. If you can think of any replacements
on Instagram,
for a co-host, go for it.
If if emailing is too old fashioned for you fucking idiots. I know who I'm talking to right now. I'm not going to say your name. You know who
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, so Instagram, TikTok, Backseat Historians. Is it the Backseat Historians or Backseat Historians?
Yeah, because Backseat Historian was taken, so we might have to have a fight with someone at some point.
Oh, challenge them.
To
I
a
could
duel.
Knock them out.
You, to be fair, with that fucking wingspan you've got. Nice.
Look at this, I'm Michael
Those
Phelps.
Armpits are out again.
Oh, no. No. Oh, I'm wearing long sleeves next time.
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Peace out, my gorilla.
Oh, TikTok is the handle.
YouTube is. I think they're all the same. They're Backseat Historian. I might be wrong.
Backseat Historian.
I'll put them in the link. I'll link it up.
Yes, have a look in Spotify in the link in the description. It's there. Any other platforms? All other platforms?
All
I
the
think
platforms.
It should be there.
All the
Any
platforms.
Platform. Cool. Bye, everyone. We'll be better next time. I'm so sorry.
On to the next one. Have you gone?
No. I was just
I looked like you disconnected
end.
Then. Peace out, home bros.
Bye.
My gorillas. Bye-bye.